Hey, welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody is having a wonderful start to their day this morning. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
I'm okay. A couple things. You sound like, and I do, like I'm talking to a bottle, so I hope that's just my headphones and not our thing. If it is out there, I apologize to all of you, but it. Do you hear that?
No, I don't.
Okay, so it's the headphones. Okay. Second thing is I'm here, which means that I'm counting on two teenagers to get to school on their own. How do you think that's going to go?
Not well.
We should maybe – well, with one of them, I have no issues at all. Yes. Nope, no worries. One of them, maybe a little bit more. Maybe we should call them and put them on the air in a couple minutes. What do you think?
Let's, I have to.
Yeah. I don't think it's actually good radio, but we might have to.
Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
I think it would be great radio. I've been there, done that. I have two brothers. I've done that, Joe.
I was going to say, you got teenagers? My goodness,
no,
Keyser.
Just I know the experience with parents, one being out of town, one's kind of
yesterday.
Just kind of hanging out. Hey, get up, go to school.
Keyser's an interesting fella.
Yeah, you never know. The mysterious life of Nick Keyser.
That's right.
The most interesting man.
That's right. God, this is really bothersome. I want you guys to try this. Like, it's really weird.
Can you hear out of both ears?
Again, yeah, but it's like, it is, I'm going to, next segment I'm going to switch. I just want you to listen to this.
And turn the dial on your little headset and see if that helps.
I know, this is, again, great radio. Let's talk about your equipment. Because the consultant said, any chance you get, if you can talk about your equipment, you know, your bathroom habits.
The temperature in the studio. Yeah,
what you had for a snack.
Do that.
Exactly. Temperature in the studio.
We covered the bathroom habits, pretty succinctly with PK yesterday.
My goodness. Yeah. Pretty extensively.
Yeah, it was.
At least we're not talking about hurricanes sloppily in the studio either.
Either one. We've done all of it here on the program. We got a lot to get to today. Preds head coach Andrew Brunette will join us at 7:30. Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight back at Bridgestone Arena, so we'll talk to Brunette at 7:30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30 today here on the program. So always look forward to Charles being with us. That will happen in the 8 o'clock hour today. Joe, we have breaking news, kind of. I do want to begin the show with your quick thoughts on some college basketball last night. The Lady Vols falling to MTSU. Vanderbilt loses again to San Francisco. And the Battle of the Boulevard, Belmont ekes out a one-point victory against Lipscomb. Your thoughts on college basketball last night?
I'm just so proud of you for bringing up college basketball. Yeah, well, Vanderbilt, you know, it's the most, I guess it's the most complete they've been, Vanderbilt men. And obviously they don't have Lee Dort, but just a bad performance. Bad team, bad season.
So, yeah, they're not very good.
No, it's there's very little excitement or enthusiasm or anything positive going on with that program. And I tell you what, you know, Kelly Harper's team's also had injuries. That's a bad loss. MTSU is a very good program, okay? But, you know, this is supposed to be a Tennessee team that's supposed to be a Final Four contender, an SEC championship contender. Now, their fortunes can change. They get everybody going. You get Tamari Key playing a lot more and things like that. I mean, they've been missing their best player, Rekia Jackson. So, like, I give them some, but 4-5.
Vol Twitter's not
tough.
Very happy.
No, Vol Twitter's, I've noticed it, is not happy. And, you know, it's year five, and I think Kelly Harper's been good. They've been good under her. It's just, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I could go on and on about that program because there's two things that you have to think about. Are you comparing it to Pat Summitt's program? If you are, you're going to be forever disappointed.
Which, like, I think a lot of people are, by the way.
Yeah, and college basketball, like, it's thanks to her in part. It's way better. There's way more resources and investment and talent, all that stuff. So it's just, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're comparing the performance to what the investment in this program is still and the resources and the fan base, it's disappointing. And Tennessee, that program should be great, should be consistently still a Final Four contender, and should have great coaching.
Yeah, I agree. So that's why Vol Twitter's mad.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Belmont up by like 18, lets it get all the way down, but pulls it out against Lipscomb. And always a great, great, great game.
Don't say I don't talk about college basketball.
Hey, man. I'm very
just did it.
Like I said, very proud.
Thank you very much. I was wondering this last night, Joe. As the Titans prepare to take on the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football for all of America to see, which I'm sure America is very excited about. Are the Titans getting ready to take on the best team in the AFC? Kansas City, obviously, is the reigning Super Bowl champion. Baltimore's looked pretty good all year long. You know, there are a couple different teams that you could throw that out to. Right now, the number one seed is Miami, and we've seen their offense be, at times, unstoppable this year. They got a lot of playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. I still think there's, you know, with them, winning those big games is something that they really haven't done consistently yet. But they are 9-3. They are the number one seed in the AFC right now. Do you think that the Titans are playing against the AFC's best team on Monday Night Football? How do you view the Dolphins at this stage?
Nah, the Dolphins have got to they've got to step up in the big games. I mean, I'm trying to think of another team that compares to this. You know, there's those teams that just load up on the cupcakes and they blow them out. And they can look – I think they can look as good as anyone in the NFL when they've got it rolling. You know, obviously the 70 points on the Broncos, but you go back. I mean, what are the most impressive performances this year? I mean, that's the thing. You go through their schedule, man, okay, great. You crushed the Panthers. You crushed the Giants. You crushed the Broncos when the Broncos were terrible. Man, you know, then they go to Buffalo. That was the first big test, 48-20 loss.
I don't think they've beaten a team that's over 500.
Yeah, see, the Chiefs game, they kind of fought back. I mean, I thought that one was at least like, you know, if they didn't make some mistakes, they were right there with them. But, you know, at this point, we look at the Chiefs now, and how good are they? I mean, they're still the Chiefs, but – and then, you know, they go to the Eagles and lose 31-17. So, I can't get there. But the thing is, you bring up that question, and I think the question tells us, like, the AFC is wide open.
Yeah.
And, again, someone told me the AFC was wide open back in August. I'd say, wow, who knows what could happen for the Titans, but no.
The AFC is this wide open, and there are three teams from the AFC South competing for a playoff spot. You knew that information heading into the year, you'd feel great about the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And yet here they are. I saw this. I think it was like Pro Football Talk or something that put this out there, and I haven't looked at the exact scenario, and I will here in just a few minutes. But apparently there's a chance that the Titans are going to be eliminated from playoff contention this weekend. So we'll see.
Yeah, so now I saw someone say that they could be the first team eliminated.
I don't know about that.
But how would that be?
I don't know. I guess
if they could be eliminated this weekend.
I mean, New England's 2-10. So
right.
I don't know. It's a good question.
The Panthers were already. So.
Yeah, but AFC team.
And the AFC.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So the Panthers. Okay, the Panthers are, though. Nice 1-11. Yeah, so maybe the Patriots and the Titans could both.
They could both be eliminated this weekend, yes.
That's exciting.
Yes, very. Well, the Patriots play tonight.
Well, that's the thing. They'd have a
beautiful Thursday night matchup tonight between the Patriots and the Mitch Trubisky-led Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it's great for the NFL that the Patriots tonight and the Titans Monday are. And the Giants Monday.
What's
also
the Sunday night game? I would love because
Cowboys Eagles. Okay. It's freaking amazing.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because like if the Sunday night game was bad, I was like, is this the worst primetime weekend in the history of the league? But no, it's not.
Well, this is also a weekend. Yeah, the Sunday night game is fantastic, but also this is a great weekend. I know it's easy for us to sit here and say, yeah, switch these games around. People, you know, travel to games, things like that. But it's actually, I think, one of the better weekends. First of all, even like the Colts at Bengals is a big game. The Jaguars at Browns is a big game. Rams-Ravens, Seahawks-Niners, Bills-Chiefs,
yeah,
and then Eagles-Cowboys. So, I mean, there's a bunch of great games. Like, there's more than enough primo matchups to give us all good primetime games, and at least we have one. I mean, my gosh. So what you were saying before the show? No, Pickett.
Yeah,
Patriots just lost 6-0 at home.
Correct.
To the Chargers. Patriots Steelers tonight. Patriots Steelers like is a fantastic franchise matchup.
Yeah, But it could be just an intro. I'm sure Al Michaels is very excited to call this one a night. Very excited to watch Mitch Trubisky. And I guess, I don't even know, other than the fact that they lost 6-0, I have no idea what happened to the Patriots last week. Was Mac Jones the quarterback?
Was Bailey Zappe
the quarterback? Are we seeing a Bailey Zappe versus Mitch Trubisky matchup tonight? Because that's enough to get America fired up.
I mean, either way. Either any Patriots quarterback and Mitch Trubisky is just peanut butter and sardines.
I'm with you on the Dolphins. I don't think they're the best team in the league. I didn't know this until I looked at their schedule. They have not beaten a team that is over 500, which is very interesting at this point in the season. So they've still got lots to prove. Having said that, I do think when their offense is clicking, they can score against anybody. I mean, you've got Waddle, and Tyreek Hill is on pace to have 2,000 yards as a receiver, which has not happened in the history of the league before. So there is that they've got that is just pretty amazing. You know, Mike McDaniel, I think, is really innovative with some of the stuff that he does. Defensively is the question, right? Like, yeah. Philadelphia, they gave up 31 points. You know, Kansas City, they actually played pretty well defensively, limiting that offense to 21 points. Buffalo, when they lost to Buffalo earlier this year, they gave up 48.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. But can they put it together in some of these big matchups?
Yeah, it just they have too much on paper. They're too talented to play the way they do against good teams. So I'm very skeptical. I'd love to see them make a run. I mean, I think they're as fun a team to watch as there is.
Agreed.
Especially when Sean is available, and he has been hurt, and that is one thing. Like when they played their best games, other than the Buffalo game where they just got rolled, but you know he was a part of that. He gives that another burner in that offense. So they're fun. I mean, I think they're going to have a good old time at the expense of the Titans, you know, but I just don't know if I can trust them in January.
Who is your best team? Baltimore?
I think so. And I've been on Baltimore. I will say from the start, you know, they just I like what they've done with their offense. I think it's a better offense, and Lamar Jackson is a more complete quarterback in that offense. They finally have, I think, you know, multiple good receivers to go with Mark Andrews, and their defense is actually better than I thought it would be. So I think this could be the year that the Ravens get there, which would shut a lot of people up if they do.
Coming up next, there's something that I've come around on with the Titans that I don't know that I'm convinced they've come around on, and we'll get into that. Coming up next, take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Proudly sponsored by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, there was something heading into the season that I was curious about in terms of how would I feel about it and the path forward for the Titans after the year. And I'm talking about Derrick Henry, his contract, and whether or not the Titans should bring him back. He's going to be 30 in January. And even though they didn't go full rebuild this last offseason, it was a sign of a transition coming up, right? I mean, they took Levis and all those things, and Tannehill was the starter heading into this year, but we knew it was pretty likely that this was going to be Tannehill's last year as a member of the Titans. So the Tannehill part of it was always pretty easy. Like, it was like, all right, Tannehill, he's got this year. And then it's going to be Levis' show after that, and we'll see how that goes. Henry, you know, I thought maybe there was a chance that he could continue to play well and the Titans would want to bring him back next season. It wasn't as sure to me as Tannehill was that he was going to be gone at the end of the year. But when you have a running back approaching 30 and that's taken some of the hits and some of the wear and tear that he's taken, you know, coupled with – you know, the rumblings over the offseason of maybe the Titans looking around a little bit, seeing what the value for him could be, I thought maybe it made more sense that the Titans were going to move on from him after the year. I have come around on that, and I think it makes sense if you're the Titans to think about keeping him around for another year or two. And that doesn't mean that he's got to be, you know, the bell cow of your offense like he has been. And by the way, this year they've taken a step towards that. He's had 197 carries in 12 games, which puts him on pace for 279 carries. That'll be the fewest amount of carries he's had by far since 2021 when he got hurt. And that year he was on pace for more than 400 carries. So this is by far the least he's going to be used since basically 2018 when he took over and was a force offensively for the Titans.
Eventually that year.
So this has been kind of a scaling back of how much they've used Derrick Henry this year. I think you would probably see that continue as his time here went on. My question is, like, how do the Titans view it? Because, you know, Rand Carthon has talked about, you know, they weren't really shopping anybody. You can take that for whatever you think. But how do the Titans view Derrick Henry, his role on the team, and how valuable it would be to bring him back for your young quarterback, for this offense, both from a leadership perspective but also on the field? Like, I think he's shown this year that he's still got something left in the tank as he moves forward here. I think it's a good idea worth to consider if you're the Titans, and I would probably bring him back if you can find a price that is right, which I think you'll probably be able to this offseason. I do wonder how the Titans view that and if they feel the same way.
It's a great question. They're not going to show their hand on that.
No.
You know, they're going to say nice things about him. And I do think that if you're the Titans, you can't count on it, right? Because I just think that it totally makes sense for Derrick Henry to see what's out there and hope that maybe there's one team there's one team that really values him and thinks he has a lot left and would be perfect. We talked earlier around the trading deadline about where he'd fit. I think there's very few teams in this league where he's good enough to be one of your two backs and all that. But I think a lot of teams would look at him and say, it just doesn't fit what we do. You know, is it possible that he's headed toward late career kind of just being like a goal line short yardage back? Kind of, you know, I don't know. But he's much better than that right now. I do think that I'm going to stick with the Ravens. I continue to be fascinated by the idea of Derrick Henry with everything else they do in that offense with Lamar Jackson and the Eagles too. They do, those two offenses, and I mean the Eagles just got DeAndre Swift. You know, I don't know the right off the top of my head the contract situations for the backs on those teams. Other than that, I mean, you know, maybe I could be surprised by somebody. People have thrown out Buffalo before. You know, like he could be sort of the missing piece of a team that's never really hasn't had much of a running back rush production. But I think – so what I'm saying is I'll be surprised if, like, something's done, you know, before he goes out and you know, when the year starts and free agency hits and he goes out and looks around. But if I'm the Titans, I would absolutely be open communication on – you know, think about coming back, and I would absolutely. I think it would be great for the Titans to have him back because it's not gonna cost you much. I mean, I heard it was when TD Power Hour was on with Jared. They were talking about like a 2-year. You know, Jared's talking about like $10 million like for a year.
It'd
be great for him. I mean, I'd be happy to see that. You know, to see a running back in his situation get paid that right now, but I really don't think it'll happen. I think it's going to be more like $4 to $6 million.
Yeah, I could see that. And, you know, is that something worth pursuing if you're the Titans? You know, how much game do you still feel like he has? Because I will say this. I know the Titans, it looked like they blocked pretty well in the running game on Sunday against Indianapolis. There have certainly been times this year where they have not blocked well in the running game. So it does leave the question, and you could throw this into last year's team too, right? If you fix the offensive line, how much better would Derrick Henry have been last year? How much better could he have looked so far this year? I mean, he ran for 1,500 yards a year ago. He's at 841 right now. I think he's second in the league in rushing right now.
and he's averaging 4.3 a carry, which 4.3 a carry is what he averaged in 2021 before the injury. And look, he's never again going to be 5.1 or 5.4 a carry, right? I mean, it's just an absurd number. He's not going to get back to that. But could he be like if you fix the offensive line, could he be 4.6, 4.7 a carry, somewhere back in that? Like, we'll never know because it's been what it's been the last 2 years. But if you're the Titans viewing him right now, like, do you feel like he's slowed down significantly? Do you feel like if you fix other things around him that he could still be a really, really good player for you for the next year or two? And how, if you feel that way, like, how valuable would that be to your young quarterback to have a running back that you still feel like can operate at a high level for the next 2 years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at his last time out. I mean, he was awfully good. And yeah, he had some seams. And guess what? When he has a seam, he usually takes advantage of it. Yeah, we've talked about this year. There's been more instances of one guy being able to tackle him, you know, and more instances of him not quite outrunning a situation where in the past he gets more yardage, maybe he takes it all the way, things like that. But he's still very effective. And I just think Spears, Henry, maybe even a little bit more of a shared load next year if it was, you know, if it was the two of them. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good for Will Levis, and it's fixing the offensive line, but it's also fixing the passing game, making yourself more dangerous as a passing offense, and then you're less predictable. And, you know, the defenses actually have to make tough choices, and you put them in conflict. I mean, this offense does none of that right now. Not none of it, but not nearly enough of it. So if you actually had a great offseason fixing other things, then, yeah, I think Derrick Henry could be 4.5 or better a carry guy.
Well, and then, of course, there's another part of this equation of him coming back next year that's probably the most important question in this, and we'll get into that coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on Derrick Henry, the Tennessee Titans. Should the Titans consider bringing Henry back for next season? 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in later this morning at 845 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on Derrick Henry, 615-737-1025. Tim on the text line says, Joe thinks Henry's washed. The line is cheeks. He's the NFL leading rusher with any other team.
I said that? I said he's washed?
I don't think so.
Where did I say that?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think he's washed. I don't think – I mean, come on. Now, Tim, I don't think he's washed at all. He's very good. I think I've said that. I say that like every day. We don't talk about Henry every day, but just about every day. But I would think you'd agree with me that there's a difference between Derrick Henry now and Derrick Henry pre-injury 21, right?
I would think so.
I would hope anybody. I mean, he's not quite that guy. I mean, that guy was on his way to, you know, another 2,000-yard season, which probably would have cemented Canton. And you have a Jones fracture, and you get older, and all that stuff happens to you. But he's absolutely very good still, and I would want him on my football team.
Well, and to that point, we've talked about, you know, the pros and cons if you're the Titans of weighing the decision to bring him back. And then there's, of course, his decision, which is not only what's going to be, you know, what's out there for me money-wise on the market in a running back landscape that looks like it's getting tougher and tougher every year for these guys, but how does he view the Titans and their ability to win? I mean, they're 4-8 right now, and who knows exactly where they're going to end up? 4-13 could be a possibility, but whether it's, you know, whether it's 4-13 or 6-11 or whatever they end up being at the end of the year, it's a fair question if you're Derrick Henry or anybody else to say, all right, well, where's this thing going this offseason, and is there a chance that you could be competitive next year if you make the right decisions this offseason if you're the Titans, and how much confidence if you're Derrick Henry do you have in Vrabel and Carthon and the Titans to make those decisions to get you back in a spot where you can be competitive next year? Because, yes, it's about the money for the running back position and all those things. Also, like, if you're Derrick Henry thinking about your career and you're thinking about Canton and you're thinking about all these different things,
you want to win right now, right? Like, he wants to go compete for a Super Bowl. And I know it's hilarious right now to think about the Titans competing for a Super Bowl next season. And I don't know that there's a path to immediately doing that. But as you've pointed out many times, you can turn things around in the NFL pretty quickly.
You can be a
based
playoff
on the way
team.
Things are set up.
Yeah, you can have a good offseason. In particular, if you have a quarterback. If you have a quarterback who's good, you can have a good offseason from a bad season and be right there to get in the playoffs. And as some people say, just get in the tournament. You never know what happened. But, yeah, Jarrick Henry, I would think, would look around. Again, Baltimore. I think right now I got Baltimore as my best team in the AFC. Let's say Baltimore, well, whatever they do this year, you know, they look at Derrick Henry and say, man, what he brings with everything we do, that could be really effective. And if you're Derrick Henry, you're looking at them and saying, yeah, they're right now, they can get a ring. I can get a ring. So I would think that that would be appealing, and that's got to be part of the equation for him too. I mean, you ultimately, you know, like DeAndre Hopkins came here, he got the best deal here. I mean, I would not blame anybody for looking at it that way, but I do think ring chasing will be part of this. Tim says, apparently I said he could be a goal linebacker. I said some teams may look at him as his career, as he gets older, as a goal linebacker.
That you being
do
out
I need to talk Derrick, louder today?
That you being out on Derrick Henry. He's garbage. He's cheeks.
Yeah, I mean.
He's done.
Jeez, man. No, Derrick Henry, yeah, at some point, and who knows when that will be. I mean, I'm not putting anything past this guy.
No.
I'm not putting a Frank Gore-like longevity past Derrick Henry. I mean, why not? If anybody would do that, why wouldn't it be him?
Yeah. I mean, he takes care of himself really well. I mean, I was worried the other day because, you know, you don't see him get knocked out of a game very often, and he gets knocked out of the game on Sunday. I'm like, oh, boy, concussion, that's not good. And apparently didn't have one. Right. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, it's like you get a hangnail, a concussion. He just, like, clips it off, and the concussion's gone.
See,
you know? Yeah. He's not human. He's a cyborg.
Look, I'm really interested to see because I do think there was a thought heading into this season that it was just a foregone conclusion that Tannehill and Henry are both gone after this year and the Titans are starting anew. And that still may end up being the way things go here. I mean, Tannehill for sure is going to be gone.
Yes.
But I do think if you're the Titans, there needs to be some serious conversation probably already taking place in terms of, all right, how much value do we place on Derrick Henry, his ability, what he still has in the tank as a football player? How much value do we place on, you know, his leadership in the locker room? You got a lot of young guys on your team. You got a young quarterback, all those things. How much value do you place on all that? And what is the dollar amount that you're willing to go to if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans to make him an offer to come back? I mean, it could be as simple as the Titans look at it and say, you know what, he's about to be 30 years old. We love him. He's a franchise icon here, but it's time to move on. I mean, that very well could be the way things go this offseason. I wouldn't do that. I would seriously try to find a way to bring him back next year.
No, I would too. I think it makes sense. And yeah, again, the locker room presence part of it is a huge deal. There's not anybody in that locker room. I mean, look, I can't sit here and pretend I can talk for everybody, but he's very well liked, very respected. His voice, he's not a guy I think who talks a ton, but when he does, people care, so that's a part of this too. Some, you know, the idea on this also is like Tyjae Spears. I happened like, what is his, you know, what's his ultimate role?
Yeah,
I think Tyjae Spears is a guy who could get 20 carries in a game and be good. I think he's good. I think he's really good, and I don't think he's not just a third down back. He's a guy who can be a lead back for a team in this league. I really believe that. But I think a partnership of those two, I like the contrast.
Yeah, like I think he can too, but I also think you see more teams around the league have that partnership and have those two backs, and the Titans just haven't done that, right? I mean, it's been Derrick Henry, and then you've thrown
they
in –
had Deion Lewis.
Yes, they did have Deion Lewis. That went well. Very good at blocking.
But that's the crazy thing is some of their
– on Twitter.
What's that?
Very good at blocking on Twitter.
I should see. Yeah, I'm going to search him up on Twitter, see if – did he block me? He blocked you?
Yeah. Oh, he blocked me, yeah.
Did he?
Which is amazing because –
That's amazing.
I didn't even think I was on the radio at the time he blocked me.
I got to see.
I was just
this.
Talking about hockey, and he just said, you know what, this hockey guy, he's blocked.
That's wild. Yeah, but it is also wild to think back to 5 years ago. They had some really good games where Deion Lewis actually was like the main guy, and Derrick Henry was sort of his helper, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy to think about. But yeah, most teams in the NFL go that way. I mean, how many teams have a straight up clear number one back? Maybe another 6 to 8?
Yeah, handful of teams.
Something like that. Yeah. So and
even like San Francisco, like Christian McCaffrey is the leading rusher in the NFL. And he's their lead back. There's no question about it. But I mean, they hand it to
they hand
it to everybody. You know,
well,
Debo,
that's true. Debo's their RB two,
yeah,
a WR one,
right.
Yeah. Now, but I think it's I don't see why anybody, like, if you're the Titans, what would be the downside? And again, you talk about cost. Keep saying, look, $100 million or $90-some million in cap space.
Yep.
I mean, that to me, that's. That's got to be put to use, and this is a light use of it, you know, to bring him back. So I think it'll be more – I could be wrong, but I don't see the downside. You've already moved away from everything is built around him.
Correct.
I mean, we've seen that, and it's
the
still –
the offense has changed.
And I think it has worked. The offense hasn't worked because, you know, the passing game can't function. But I think that part of it – could work great next year if you fix the other things.
James on the text line says, breaking news, Robbie Stanley says Derrick Henry is garbage and done.
Yeah, that's right. You did say those words.
Thank you, James.
Those were recorded.
Appreciate that.
I'll be on the podcast later.
Jared from Spring Hill says, let me guess, both of y'all supported Vrabel storming off the podium yesterday because y'all don't like PK. That's from Jared from Spring Hill.
Do we not let PK come in here? And
is that the vibe you get when PK comes on our show every week for an hour?
I mean, I do like to rip
by him. The way. He's going to be with us again tomorrow. So,
but not at this time.
Not at this time.
Yes. We will be taking over Jared's show.
We will be
tomorrow.
Infiltrating
We're taking
Jared's
show
tomorrow.
Over tomorrow.
One day
PK.
Only on Friday, tomorrow, we will be from 2 to 6 p.m.
Yes. I have to get out early. I have to cut out early to do some dad taxi work.
But a trio of me, you, and Kuharski.
Yes, taking over Jared's show. So, check it out. Now, as far as, you know, But seriously, the question about Vrabel storming off, I said this on Jared versus Joe yesterday. Another big dub, by the way. Shout out to Mark. I just, you know, it was the end, kind of the end of the presser, but Kuharski's asking him, good for you, Kuharski. And he was right. Kuharski was right that it should have been asked the first day, but he asked him about Amy Adams Strong. And, you know, and Vrabel, I mean, I don't know if he stormed off, but he didn't answer the last question, which I don't think was a good idea.
No.
Answer the question.
I agree.
Now, is it because it was PK, or is it because of the question?
Maybe a combination of the two.
Maybe a combination, yeah. But you got to put aside that it's PK.
I agree.
And yeah, when you like basically don't answer that question, to me,
leaves it open.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, it makes it seem like Amy Adams Strong made you fire Craig Aukerman.
Yep. 615.
Whether that's true or not.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I found the end of that, the okay, let's go there.
Okay.
It came up again on my Instagram feed this week. I should have sent it to you.
Yeah.
I'll find it again.
Yeah, I need to see the original thing there. Kind of, I don't know why it bothers me so much.
Joe, your best thing, your worst thing in the world of sports for this week?
Well, my best thing in sports is that the College Football Playoff Committee actually got something right.
You're going to make a lot of people mad.
Well, I already have, and that's fine. And my battles with coworkers at the Athletic, Stillman, et cetera, et cetera, are ongoing. I mean, you, me, and Kyle Tucker, we may need to, you know, I don't know, start a club or something.
Hunker down.
Yeah. It's just, again, the oh, I guess the games don't matter is just garbage because no one said the games don't matter. Or, oh, you don't know what would happen. No, I know what has happened. Florida State lost its best player, its quarterback, and they've looked like crap playing without him. That's what has already actually happened in real life. So basically, this is my best and worst in sports.
But they won the games.
Yeah, and so did Liberty. I heard Trevor Maddich on Jared the other day. He just absolutely destroyed Jared on this argument. So Trevor's on our team too, and but he was much nicer than like I have been. So Florida State is the right team to not be in the playoff. And I also will say this: I 100% support if Florida State beats Georgia. I don't care if Georgia is playing their third string five stars. Florida State. If I had an AP vote this year, I would vote them national champion. I hope it happens. Split national championship is perfect. Let's do it. That's my best and worst.
Let's not do that.
Just sort of a mini rant, but go ahead. You don't like that?
The idea of a split
national title
has always been the dumbest thing in sports to me. It's just stupid.
Brings me back to my childhood.
I'm sure it does.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
Nick Keyes, are your best and worst things in the world of sports?
I'll go local first. Derek Mason being named the new MTSU football coach. Not our Derek Mason, but formerly of Vanderbilt. I think that is a great hire. Yesterday he talked about being blue-collared and all the blue this and that, all of that. So, yeah, good for them. They got a new coach, and he has a clear direction. So it should be fun to hear more from him. And then I thought this was cool. The Preds, when they had their shootout, this was interesting to me. So, they scored 3 goals in a row. They've never done that to win a shootout, so that was pretty cool.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. So, there you go. Yeah.
That is a heck of a stat.
They have never done that. They scored 3 goals. It was Nyquist, O'Reilly, and Forsberg. So, until it doesn't work, I would keep that shootout lineup. Well. So, and then the worst, what are the Jets doing at quarterback?
It's pretty bad.
I don't understand. I don't really get this guy.
It's been weird.
This is awful. I mean, you go from 2 quarterbacks playing to now you're back to Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it's been really weird. Like, there are reports earlier this week about how apparently Zach Wilson didn't want to play, and he didn't want to, like, I guess they Russini reported that, like, they had to get Rodgers to talk to him to, like, try to get him back on the field.
I guess.
And then Rodgers hops on with McAfee on Tuesday on ESPN and basically says that all that's bull crap and that he's going to let Zach Wilson speak. And then Zach Wilson gets up there yesterday and talks about how he wants to play and that he's getting the ball. It was the other part of this that's really weird is Robert Saleh earlier this week talked about how, like, Zach Wilson approached him and said he wanted to play, said all the right things, but that he wasn't there yet was, I believe, the word that Saleh used. Like, I'm not there yet. And then now he's the starter, like, 2 days later.
It's strange.
A really weird situation in New York.
And then one last question to ask ourselves is, are the Yankees back? Because they made a huge trade last night. I have no idea if they will be or not, but Juan Soto to the Yankees, did not see that one coming.
So wait,
they got a lot of money.
That's one of your, is that your worst?
I just wanted to bring it up.
That's your all. Mid?
He's just adding.
That's your best, worst,
he's
and
adding
mid?
Adding qualifications to the segment.
Why not?
All right.
My best thing in sports, this weekend of college football was beautiful. Regardless of what you think about the Florida State being left out of the playoff stuff, the conference championship games, I really enjoyed Washington, Oregon on Friday night. Thought it was a really good game. Georgia, Alabama, really good game. And just to know that this was the last time the conference championship weekend will ever matter for anything ever again was a very sobering thought this weekend. So I enjoyed it. I did my best to just take it all in as it was going down, and I really enjoyed conference championship weekend in college football.
Okay, let's all right, go ahead.
What are you going to say?
Well, I'll just say, so next year, the exact same weekend.
Yeah.
Iowa's trying to get in the playoff. Louisville's trying to get in the playoff.
Think about what you're saying.
Well,
right
but that's what the playoff is. It's
but
12
no
teams.
One cares about that.
Well, sure they do. It's a
no, they don't.
Play.
No one cares about Thank God Iowa could have a chance to be in there next year. Or hey. Louisville. Oh, yes. Bring me Louisville in the college football playoff.
I'm just saying.
They lost to Kentucky the week before, but give me more Louisville in the playoff.
Let's see. Who else do we have that could get in the playoff, that would have gotten a playoff? Yeah, Oklahoma State,
Woo!
Maybe.
Give me Mike Gundy in the playoff.
Get that mullet
in there. Yes, keep them coming.
I'm just saying.
Ole Miss, Georgia. Let's see that again. You're right. It sounds very exciting next year.
I can't wait, man. I cannot wait. I'm pumped. Now, I'm not pumped if Iowa is one of those teams. I'm counting on Iowa to go 5-7 next year.
My worst thing in sports, the Pittsburgh Penguins are done. Like this run that they've been on. They're donezo. They're not very good. They lost 3-1 to Tampa Bay last night. Apparently had one of those, closed door meetings that we hear about all the time in sports at the end of the game.
And
it feels to me as if the Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang era is done. They missed the playoffs last year for the first time in 16 years, and they're just not very good. I mean, they blew a game. Well, they didn't blow the game. They probably should have won the game against the Predators here last week, and the Predators found a way to eke that one out. You look at Pittsburgh, they're 11-11-3. They're seventh in their division right now. They're donezo. They're not very good.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not that surprising, right? It's a heck of a run.
It is.
You can't have any complaints if you're a Pens fan, right? I mean, it's just like
I wouldn't think so.
You're going to have – it's very hard to not have some – ugly end to eras like that, right? It's never totally clean. So, you know what? Just dust off your VHS tapes of your championship teams. They weren't that long ago.
Honorable mention. I am looking forward to the Army-Navy game coming up this weekend. And as Ben points out, I did see the uniforms for the Army-Navy game. They always look good, but good stuff. Enjoy the Army-Navy game.
Yes, for sure.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Nashville Predators. We got Andrew Burnett joining us at 7:30 next hour. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Preds are 25 games in right now. What are the early returns on the Barry Trotz / Andrew Burnett shift of power here with the Predators? How do we feel like things are going? How do you feel like things are going with the transition of the way that the Predators are operating, the culture shift, all of those things? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.